Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is God's word. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "Well, there's still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much. David became one of his armor-bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Well, what's going to be the point today? I would say the point today, and there are several points in this passage, but the point today, the one thing that kind of is borne out in all the rest of it, is that the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. Now that obviously is drawn from verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Please notice that the Lord chose Saul. And then Saul absolutely blew it. That was not a surprise to God, but it was still a tragedy. And it still saddened God. God has the capacity to look at our stupid, grievous decisions and experience grief, looking at what we do. But God then made his choice to reject Saul and to raise up David. And Samuel is following along. He's not leading the way, telling God what to do. As we've said before, the difference between worship and witchcraft is who's in control. In this passage, it begins with Samuel grieving over Saul, saddened by the fact that Saul's turned out to be such a disaster. He had so much potential. And yet God says, move on. It's time to move on. I have chosen someone else. And please notice that. The Lord chose David. It was God's choice. You and I look at many things in life and we try to trace what happened. This brought about this, which brought about this, which brought about this. And we fail to recognize there is a divine author. There is one who is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose in mind and he works the details together in order to accomplish his plan. So, Samuel did not know David. Samuel didn't know Jesse's sons. Samuel apparently didn't know Jesse. But God knew all of them. And God knows all about you. Jesus said he knows how many hairs are on top of your head. Right now, he knows everything about you. We need to remember that when we come to pour out our heart to God in prayer. It's not as if God's needing information. God already knows. And so the purpose of our prayer is not to inform God, but to get in step with God. The purpose of our prayer is that we might have our hearts and minds aligned with his purpose. That we might be in step with what God desires to do. So God says, I have chosen, verse 1, one of his sons to be king. And Samuel, who at the end of the previous chapter had just executed Agag, the king of the Amalekites, that Saul had failed to execute, Samuel's afraid to go. Isn't that interesting? The servant of the Lord has walked with God a long time, has been used by the Lord to wield deadly force on behalf of God, is now afraid to do what God says for fear that Saul will find out and kill him. Well, Saul was not a good guy. And Saul was not only a head taller than everybody else, he was crazy. He was crazy. And we skipped over it, but in a previous chapter, he was ready to have his own son killed for not doing what Saul had said. I just want it to be clear why Samuel, the servant of the Lord, would have some human emotion that would say, God, how am I supposed to do that? That could cost me my life. Just for the record, those feelings are natural, but it's much better to die doing what God says than to try and save your life. Because the one who tries to save his life will lose it. But the one who loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it.
Folks, we would love for you to come and join us April 27 through 29 here in the Great Smoky Mountains. We're going to be having a marriage retreat for 12 couples. Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn is the romantic location. And you can get more information by going to wvr.org. It'll involve lodging, meals, time to enjoy area attractions, and teaching from God's Word.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus...
So, the Lord said, you're to go, I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, I've chosen one of his sons to be king. Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you, say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Those are both true. I mean, it's absolutely true. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. Please look at that phrase for a moment. I will show you what to do. He doesn't tell him everything ahead of time. He tells him as much as he needs to know, and then says, when you're in the situation, I'll tell you what to do. That is not a unique thing in Scripture. This isn't the only time that that happens, where God sends someone and only gives them limited information on the front end. And then as they walk in obedience, God shows them more. Now sometimes God gives us more information than he does at other times. But the important thing is to be obedient to the part that you know. Just do what the Lord tells you to do, and as you obey, God will give you the information you need. He'll give it to you when you need it. So, the Lord told Samuel as much information as he needed, gave him the instructions that he needed, and said, when you do this, I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Now again, he doesn't say, Samuel, go pick one of Jesse's sons. He says, I have chosen one of his sons to be king. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So Samuel did what the Lord said. Could everybody repeat that phrase? Samuel did what the Lord said. One more time. Samuel did what the Lord said. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Do what the Lord says. Now remember, he was afraid to go. But notice this. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Here he is feeling fear lest Saul should find out what he's up to and kill him. And here the elders of the town are afraid of him. Why would they be afraid of him? Well, he killed Agag and he works for God, and they've probably got guilty consciences about something. So when the servant of God shows up, they're all like, hi. Can we help you? Have you ever had a guilty conscience? Have you ever had something that was bothering you and you knew it wasn't right? Things were not the way they should be between you and the Lord. Something was bothering you. And every time something would come up, you were afraid that it's all about to unravel. It's all about to be brought to light. It's all about to come out in the open. Oh! I just want to ask you a question. For honesty, how many of you within the last year have had something in your life that you're responsible for that you would not want announced in front of the whole church? That's what was going on here, okay? The elders of the town see Samuel coming and they tremble with fear. Because their consciences are not clear. And they know that if he was coming in judgment, if God had sent him to judge them right now for the way things are between them and God, they'd be in trouble. They would be in trouble. You and I need to understand, one of these days, judgment is coming. One of these days, all of us are going to stand before God. And whether you are a Christian or you are a lost person, at that point, it's too late to get it right. And if you are a Christian, there will come a judgment where your works will be evaluated. Not in terms of whether or not you go to heaven, but in terms of what sort of reward you have to lay before the feet of Jesus. I'd like to be ready. If we know that judgment is coming, why don't we get ready now? Amen. I love those signs along the highway, prepare to meet thy God. That's a good thing. So, they saw Samuel and they trembled with fear. You come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. He was the oldest. Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Samuel was sure, but he was wrong. Sometimes we're sure and we're wrong. Samuel was a prophet. He was a seer. But he wasn't seeing this rightly. He was seeing this humanly. He was seeing it naturally. Eliab was an impressive guy. He was a big dude, apparently, because the Lord says, don't look on his height. You see, Saul had already been king, and he was taller than everybody else, a head taller than everybody else. Apparently, Eliab was also a pretty big dude. And so when he comes walking in, Samuel says, wow, I can see why God picked him. No, you can't. You're looking at the outside. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And you and I, let me just tell you, all the outward stuff amounts to nothing. Worms are going to eat this someday. Okay? The outward appearance is not what it's about. God sees the heart. If God were to put our hearts on display this morning, what would that look like? You've got a nice smile. There's a twinkle in your eye. You dress nicely. All that's good. But how's your heart? What does God see this morning when he looks at you? When he sees your heart? Does he see somebody who loves him? Who's grateful? Who's eager to please him and do his will out of love? Not because you're terrified. Please understand, God is looking this morning at your heart and mine. God sees what's going on inside us. The stuff that we keep hidden from others and the stuff we often try to hide from ourselves. God sees our heart. What does he see when he looks at you? Well, none of those that Jesse had brought were the Lord's chosen. And so they brought in David. They had to wait until he got there. And wouldn't you, if I was writing this, David would be some little shrimpy, pimply kid. Okay? Because that will demonstrate once again that the outward appearance is not important. But no, that's not what happened. David comes in and he's good looking. He is a well-built, handsome guy. Apparently, being attractive doesn't disqualify you for serving the Lord. And I'm so grateful for that. No, but I want you to understand something. On the one hand, it's not about the outward appearance. But just like God isn't impressed by money, God's not impressed by poverty either. He chooses weakness to display his power, but not because he can't work through the strong. Because the strongest of the strong are weak compared to God. So understand that when it says God looks on the heart, he really looks on the heart. It wasn't that he could use David because David was unattractive. It's that he could use David and chose to use David because he saw in David a man with a heart after God. Now, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Please look at that phrase in verse 13. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. This is God's doing. God anointed him. God empowered him. And in the verses that follow from there to the end of the chapter, you see a very important contrast. The Lord withdrew his spirit from Saul and sent an evil spirit to torment him. Pastor, I was hoping you're going to have more time to deal with that this morning because I don't really understand that at all about how the Lord could send an evil spirit. How could an evil spirit possibly be from the Lord? Well, just read the text. God isn't just in charge of some stuff. God isn't up there saying, well, I've got about 80% of the world locked up, but 20% I'm really having trouble with. They're just, I can't do a thing. God is working his purpose out. And the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Please understand this. God is the one that the devil has to get permission from in order to do what he does to Job. He can't go any farther than God says. And he can't do what he does until God says. Please don't think, well, you know, these things came in my life, but I know it wasn't God, it was the devil. Well, it may have been the devil, but God's still in charge. And God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. I don't understand why God would let that happen. Well, I don't either. But you see, I'm not a consultant. God is in charge, and he does all things well. And there's a lot that I don't understand. But I know he's in control. One more thing about those closing passages. David went to work for Saul. Now, he's already been chosen by God and anointed by God to be king. And he's working for the guy who is king. And yet, in the midst of that, David was used by God to bless Saul, who was being tormented by an evil spirit. And the means by which he did it was music. Music has spiritual power. And music actually interfaces with spiritual beings that are all around us. But it's not just the lyrics that matter. It's the music itself. We don't have time to pursue this at length this morning, but I'm telling you that what happened here was not superstition. It was supernatural. And God used David's artistry on the harp in order to minister to a tormented soul who was having supernatural trouble with an evil spirit that had been sent as a punishment from God. God not only provided the punishment, he provided the relief. And the relief came in the context of worship.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.